Yesterday I constructed a particular Clapeyron resolution of the quotient singularity Cn mod g, namely g Hill, and then I constructed another Clapeyron resolution as a symplectic quotient, and so I recall the definition again. So it depends on the choice, the parameter for this new Clapeyron resolution is contained in the center of the Lie algebra of the UGR, so unitary automorphism group of regular representation, which is as a vector space isomorphic to whose dimension as a vector space is number of relative representations. Then x zeta is defined as the pair of vectors and matrices with these conditions. So in the G-Hilbert case, V naught is just the image of one. So in the G naught G-Hilbert case, we consider the surjection from the coordinate ring in the space of global sections of this scheme. And V naught is the image of one, and BIs are just the multiplication of these DIs. And so these satisfy this condition. V0 is fixed by the action G, and V1 and Vn as a tuple is an element. G equivalent map from Q to R tensor Q, and they commute each other, and so I put this this moment map equation, so bi diagonal plus norm square of V naught times identizing zeta, and in the case of G Hilbert, zeta was just scalar matrix. But if you allow zeta to vary on components, then you get another space. And by the relation between the symplectic moment map equation and the stability condition, this has the following description. The first two conditions are the same, but instead of this equation, you introduce zeta stability condition, which I didn't write down yesterday. This is a kind of open condition, which I didn't put in. Yeah, so it's a little bit complicated, but and I don't want to explain in detail, but it says the non. So as a, maybe it's very similar to the notion of the stability for vector bundles. So the for notion for vector bundles, the vector bundle is stable if for a certain subbundle. For any subbundle of the original vector bundle, its slope it must be smaller than the slope of the original bundle. That was the condition. And in this vector and the matrices, the condition is almost the same. And for any submodule, you have kind of analog of the slope inequality. So you must consider two kinds of submodules. So it's a little bit complicated, but you can Anyway, so you can write down the condition explicitly. So the yes, and I remark that so this V naught is somehow auxiliary parameter. So you can normalize V naught to be one. So if these are stable, so it's, then you have V naught must be V naught can't be zero, and this automorphism group contains scalar. As the endomorphism or automorphism of trivial of the component of a trivial representation, so you can normalize V naught to be one always. Always. So essential parameter is just these n tuple of matrices. So anyway, so you have this kind of space, and I said this. You have the similar correspondence of between the as in the case of G Hilbert, namely the G equivalent, the functor of from the G equivalent derived category on CN to the derived category of coherent sheaf on X and X zeta. But yesterday I was a little bit cheating because in order to define this operator, so in the G Hilbert case, recall that this is a convolution with respect to the universal family of Z. So in order to define this convolution operator in the general setting, you must consider the counterpart of the universal family. So in order to understand this universal family, so you are naturally forced to ask this question. So what does X zeta parameterize? So G Hilbert parameterize subschemes in Euclidean space with certain condition. And I abstractly construct this space X zeta, just changing the stability condition. So we must understand the geometric meaning of this of a point in this X zeta. For this, I must return back to the case of G Hilbert to understand the question to this problem. So I consider the Cauchy resolution of the diagonal of the diagonal in the product of CN. So this is the Cauchy complex. So this is the diagonal, and O is structure theory of the product, and Q is an n-dimensional vector space regarded as a G-module via this inclusion, and delta is just the interior product of G minus W, and G and W are coordinate of these. The D is a coordinate of the first factor, and W is just the coordinate of the second factor. So this is the usual Cauchy complex. And then by tensoring OZ and taking, so taking the convolution with respect to this O delta, so which gives us identity. But we can replace O delta by this complex in the derived category. So this gives us an alternative description of OZ. So like this, OZ is represented as a homology group of certain complex. So this is the complex. So R is this one. So this was a complex over CN cross CN, but this is a complex over CN, and R is the trivial bundle over CN, but the fiber is the regular representation. and Q is the same as above, and in this way we just replace, formally replace O by R. And z minus w is replaced by this operator, so z is still coordinate on Cn, and w is replaced by this by the homomorphism, by this homomorphism B. So we can represent we represent the structure sheaf of G here as certain complex. And the point is that this complex makes sense for a point V not P in X zeta, not necessarily in the point in G Hilbert. So you can consider this complex for any point in X zeta for arbitrary zeta. So instead of OZ, the analog of OZ for X zeta is this complex. Okay, so it's natural to consider X zeta, this new space, as moduli space of certain objects of the derived category. And so this stability condition depends on the choice of the parameter z zeta. This is, I mean, not at all obvious, because I mean, since in general the derived category is not abelian category, so derived category, so the stability con in order to define the stability condition, you usually need to consider sub-object. So you need to work on abelian category, but this derived category is not abelian category, so it's not at all obvious to define zeta stability directly for the objects in the derived category. So I used the matrix expression of this object, and in that setting I can consider the submodules, and then I can define the stability. But it seems it's not so obvious to define the notion of the stability directly for the derived category. But in fact, Bridgeland did this kind of the introduction of the stability for the object of the derived category in a similar situation. And for that purpose, he first introduced some exotic T structure to have a certain core in the derived category. So derived category is defined starting from a certain abelian category, and then consider the complex, and then inverting KSI isomorphism to define derived category. So you want to reverse this process. So in order to this, there's machinery developed by Berenson, Bernstein, Dwinging, so-called T structure. So the standard T structure for derived category obtained from abelian category is just these two notions. So d upper greater than or equal to zero is just homology objects
full subcategory of objects whose homology vanish in negative degree, and similarly, complex whose homology vanish in positive degree. And then core is its intersection. Then in this way, you can recover the original abelian category. And this T structure is an abstractization of this notion. And the point is that you can you may have some exotic T structure which may not be the same as the original one. Then you can find another abelian structure, abelian category in the derived category. So this is. For example, this is also so original motivation of their study is in the Riemann-Hilbert correspondence, which is equivalence between the derived category of constructive sheaves and holonomic D modules. Their derived category are the same, but the two natural natural abelian category is not isomorphic, so you can. It is natural to ask what is the abelian category. So this kind. This is the question. So suppose you have two abelian categories A and B, and if its abelian category is isomorphic. Then it means that, so as I said, A can be recovered as a core, and B is also recovered as core of a certain T structure. So you can recover B from DA as by using exotic T structure. How should core of exotic over standard T structure core of. What do you call T structure? T structure is this kind of abstractization of this. So you have certain subcategory of this and satisfying certain conditions. Then it implies that this intersection becomes abelian category. The point is that so this is a standard T structure, and you recover the original abelian category. But you may introduce another T structure to get another abelian category in the derived category. So it seems that so it is natural to ask what kind of T structure exists on a given derived category. So several Calabi-Yau manifolds have common derived category, but So the abelian category is consisting of genuine sheaves on these individual Calabi-Yau manifolds. So they are not the same. Although the derived category are the same, but the abelian category are different. Okay. So. Maybe I don't quite understand the mirror symmetry, but so it seems natural to ask that is it possible to describe in the category of special Lagrangians, is it possible to describe which correspond to special Lagrangian, which correspond to genuine sheaf, not objects of derived category. So it means, is it possible to define a T structure on this derived category, which correspond to the abelian category of Jenin sheaves. Okay, next I want to consider the case n equal 2. So in n equal 2 case, as I said, the Clapeyron resolution is unique. So you don't get any interesting, you don't get new Clapeyron resolution. But in this case, you can also put up the complex equation, namely, so this commutator, so in the last case for the G here, the commutator must vanish, but we can turn the parameter on. So zeta C is an element in the center of the algebra of complex automorphism, so not necessarily preserving the metric. And since this is commutator, we must impose this condition, trace is zero. And then this gives a deformation and its simultaneous resolution. And this is a picture of Kronheimer. So you have this. So the origin is C2 divided by G. And you have this parameter, which is which was the level of the moment map. So this is a real parameter. But we also have this complex parameter, so in this direction. So this is the direction of the deformation of this quotient singularity. So, and if you choose, for example, this set, this level, then you have the natural homomorphism from the space on here and the space on here, so it gives a simultaneous resolution of the deformation. And in fact, if you use a hyperkähler picture, we can treat this resolution deformation in the same footing, so in an equal way. So this is just, hyperkähler rotation.
C is imaginary or complex?
C is a complex.
What's the natural map between
spaces? Natural map?
Well, you said there's a natural map between the spaces.
You can see it.
You write sideways.
So this is a parameter. We have two parameters, zeta R and zeta C. And this is zero and zeta c. So we have a corresponding space x, zeta r c and x. And I said this, there is much natural homomorphism because, instead of moment map, I consider the stability condition. And so you have a zeta r stability condition, and also you have zero stability condition. But zero stability condition just means, every point is semi-stable, and so instead of just taking usual set of theoretical quotient, you must identify those orbit whose closure intersect. So the map is just if you have a zeta r stable orbit, then you just consider the closed orbit containing the closure. So this is. This map has this. Maybe I should say so I didn't say why G Hilb is a Clapeyron resolution of the of the quotient singularity. So what is the natural map from G cube to quotient singularity? So in the G cube picture, it is just for a given subscheme, you just consider its support counted with multiplicity. But in the matrix picture, you consider the closed orbit contained in the closure of the orbit. So that is the map. So we can deform the space. So again, we want to have analogous equivalence of the derived category of between some kind of G equivalent objects to this derived category of this sheaf. And in fact, many years ago, I did this kind of things with Kronheimer. But instead of using the language of derived category, we studied instantons, Jan-Mills instantons on this ALE space, so which is an analog of the famous ADHM description of instanton on alpha. So since instanton correspond to holomorphic vector bound by Kobayashi-Chuen correspondence, so if we forget the real part of the moment map in this ADHM description, so namely the symplectic, the moment map equation, then we have a candidate of this object, which is a representation of certain non-commutative algebra, which turns out to be a representation of non-commutative algebra. But so this was original result, but much later, so it was noticed that this result can be explained more naturally in the language of non-commutative algebraic geometry. So this derived category of G equivalent sheaves on C2 must be replaced by some derived category on sheaves on non-commutative space. And this was done by those people. So since this is very nice, so I would like to explain. So in the commutative case, so this derived category of G equivalent derived category is identified with derived category of finitely generated. This smashed product of, so maybe if you forget G, then derived category of sheaves on C2 is just the derived category of module representations of polynomial algebra. So if you encode this G action, then you consider so-called smashed product. So this is polynomial algebra, and C, so you also encode the action G. So so the definition of the product of this smashed product is this one. So in the non-commutative case, I replace this polynomial ring by its non-commutative deformation. So namely, I consider this how should I call it? So this non-commutative ring tensor CZ and divide by the commutator G1, G2 is equal to 1 times zeta C. And the parameter zeta C appear in here. So zeta C was the center of the automorphism of regular representation, but it's just, you can identify this as with the center of the group ring. So this is a non-commutative algebra, which is an analog of this smash product. So even in the case of the trivial G, this gives us an interesting approximation of the deformation of Hilbert scheme points in C2. So this is not a G-Hilbert. So you consider arbitrary zero-dimensional sub-scheme in C2. So it is well known that this Hilbert scheme has one-dimensional complex deformation. So for example, you can see this by so since this Hilbert scheme has a hyperkähler structure, so the scaling of the kähler metric correspond to the deformation in another complex structure. So in that sense, this deformation is quite natural. But if you want to understand a point in this deformation as a certain object on the C2, then it makes a puzzle. this kind of non-commutative equation looks quite strange for the ordinary C2. But so this deformation of Hilbert scheme can be considered as a moduli of holomorphic line band on non-commutative sheets or moduli space of by an analog of Kovacevic correspondence. So this is moduli space of U1 instantons on non-commutative sheets. So on genuine commutative sheets, U1 instanton is the only you have only trivial U1 instanton, but on the non-commutative C2, you have non-trivial U1 instantons. And this deformation parameterizes this U1 instanton. So the philosophy in here is that moduli space of objects in non-commutative geometry, non-commutative algebraic geometry, may be commutative usual space, commutative variety in the usual commutative algebraic geometry. And if you understand the deformation of the moduli space, you must force to go to the world of non-commutative geometry. So now I back to the world of usual algebraic geometry, and this is a classical object of Mackay correspondence, which is, so maybe you almost all of you already heard about it, but I want to recall it because later I need to in order to relate the moduli space of sheaves on L space with representation theory. So from now I consider the case n equal 2, and I consider the Clapeyron resolution given by G-Hilbert. So x is G-Hilbert and pi is the resolution map. Then I consider the exceptional set. So the inverse image of origin consists of projective line intersects whose intersection product is given by the minus of the Cartan matrix of type AD. So you have a classification of finite subgroup of SL2. So you have cyclic group and you have binary dihedral group or exceptional. You have three binary polyhedral group, and each correspond to finite dimension simple algebra in this way. So there's bijection between G of SL2, finite subgroup of SL2, and simple. And so you have also the realgebra of type B, BC, and F, FG doesn't appear in here. So this is so-called simply less realgebra. And under these identifications, so you can draw a diagram of corresponding to this intersection product, namely the vertex is this irreducible component, and you draw an edge between vertex if these two components intersect each other. Then you get Dynkin diagram. So this irreducible component corresponds to a vertex of the Dynkin diagram. So you can consider this CI as a simple root or simple coroot, and so this H2 homology of X can be identified with the Cartan subalgebra of this the algebra. So it is quite natural to ask what is so since this correspondence passes through the combinatory object, namely Cartan matrix or Dynkin diagram, so it is natural to ask what is a direct more conceptual connection between finite subgroup and real algebras. And this question is already answered many years ago by in the theory of Briscoe and Slodwy. So they consider nilpotent orbits in these real algebra to reconstruct this quotient singularity, and also by using flag variety, and they construct this resolution. But my construction is somehow reversed order. So starting from this geometric picture, so equivalent resolution, I constructed the representation of this real algebra or some related algebra using modular space of Shields-Ohm. So this correspondence between the Hilbert quotient singularity and real algebra will be used tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. So this is very old story, and this much older than Mackay. And Mackay gave correspondence which is still combinatorial, but which doesn't use this Clapeyron resolution, but so directly relate finite subgroup and the algebra. So he considered isomorphic class among all irreducible representations, so rho naught, rho 1 to rho n, and I assume rho naught to be trivial representation, trivial one-dimensional representation, and let rho q to be the two-dimensional representation given by the inclusion, and then he defined an integer, non-negative integer aij, but as a multiplicity of rho j in rho q tensor rho I. So this decomposition. Then, we have a classification of finite subgroups, and so you can compute this multiplicity if you know all the characters of irreducible representations, and which can be, since G is somehow explicit, so you can compute characters of all representations. So anyway, so you can compute this AIJ, and then he found that if you consider this matrix 2 delta ij minus aij, then this is the extended Carlton matrix. So, or Carlton matrix corresponds to the affine algebra. So if you remove zeros column and zeros row, so correspond to this trivial representation, then it's usual Carlton matrix. The cyclic case is rather easy, so I explain. So I consider the cyclic group of type of order n plus 1 containing SL2. Then the representation, since this is abelian, so all the representation is one dimensional, irreducible representation is one dimensional, and low I is just this representation, zeta inverse goes to zeta to the power I. And low Q is just low Q is a two dimensional representation corresponding to this zeta and zeta inverse. So this is low 1 plus low minus 1. Which so I consider everything modulo n plus 1, of course. Then low Q tensor low I is just low I minus 1 plus low I plus 1. Then 2 delta ij minus aij is this matrix. And this is the extended Carlton matrix of type AN. And if you remove this column and this row, this column and this row, then you get the usual Carlton matrix of type AN. So this is the classical. And this is the Macquarie correspondence, but as I said, his proof is combinatorial.
Pardon?
Row one.
You started with an equation of the group.
Yes.
They all
are what?
Are they all constant?
Oh, yeah, I mean, what? I don't understand. So low Q is not necessarily irreducible. I mean, in this case, low Q is not irreducible.
That's the picture
of Q to start. But so that's the conjugate. So I mean, you just get the. I see. Yeah. So in the rest of the time, I try to give a conceptual proof why this tensor product multiplicity is the same as the intersection matrix without using the classification. So for this, I consider another category, another derived category, which is almost similar, but you have a natural duality between the derived category and this new derived category. So this is the full subcategory of the derived category, constituting complex whose cohomology have support in the exceptional set. So exceptional set is the inverse image of the origin. So for example, the structure C of irreducible component CI is an object of this derived category. And similarly, I consider the derived category on C2, so n is 2 in this case. Maybe so. So this setting is general. So n may be 3. So this is full subcategory of G equivalent derived category, consists of complex whose homology has support contained in the origin. And main theorem of Bleach and King and Lee still gives us the equivalence between these derived category with supports. Then you have a natural pair for any,
this main theorem must be true. So I must assume so x is g hilp or x zeta, and the dimension must be 2 or 3. But in that case, you must identify the G hilp with the Kleppmann resolution, so it's not another problem. So I mean, there is some other example which their theorem still holds, but yeah. Anyway, so. Then the pairing is defined in this way. So you have object, one object is in the arbitrary support, and F is supposed to have a compact, the support contained in an exceptional set, and in this case, the origin. Then I consider X, so this is just the form of E to F shifted by I, and I take alternating sum. So since F has support at the origin, so this is a finite dimensional space. So this is an integer.
You mean rank?
Rank, yes. So I can consider the similar pairing on the variety X, just replacing this derived category in here. And in this case, by the Riemann law, it is expressed by this formula. And this the equivalence gives as identification of these pairings. So the pairings are preserved under the equivalence. And as far as I understand this, the what physicists call fractional brain is an object in this smaller category. So this is the support of object in here is contained in the exceptional set. And in some special case, exceptional set is for example, also a projective space. or weighted projective space if you allow some mild singularities. And you can further restrict it to the Calabial space and so on. So maybe I should not explain that. Anyway, so as far as I understand, this kind of object is studied in physics. So I, using this pairing, I gave a geometric explanation of Mackay correspondence. In fact, there's already has lots of works on geometric explanation of Mackay correspondence, but this particular setting is due to my joint work with Ito. So first, I consider the pairing between the trivial sheaf, but the G module structure is given by the representation rho I. And I consider the scraper sheaf at the origin and twisted by the representation rho j. Then it's obvious to that this to compute the co-pairing. So this is just delta of ij. So this is the dimension of G homomorphism from rho I to rho j. So if I define Ri and Sj by the image of these two by the functor, then since the pairing is preserved, we have this pairing, Ri, Sj equal delta Ij. So somehow Ri and Sj are dual basis. And if you work on the K-theory, so this is genuine dual basis to each other. And then I want to compute delta of rho I tensor O naught and rho j tensor O naught. So delta is a map for getting the support. So it's, if you have a derived category in here with support condition, but you forget about the support condition, you have an object in here. So in the cohomology, so so this is the counterpart of cohomology with compact support, and this is the cohomology with arbitrary support. So you can forget about support to have a map. Then you have this pairing, and this can be easily computed using Kochiou complex of O naught. So I twisted by rho I. And then you have this rho I tensor rho Q and rho I tensor wedge number Q. And since I'm constraining to n equals 3, so when n equals 2, the complex stops in here, and you have one extra form when n equals 3. And so from rho I from this term, so rho I tensor rho Q, you have this decomposition of tensor product, so rho j plus aij. And for when n equals 2, this is a trivial module, so you have rho I. And for n equals 3, since this is the dual of Q, so you get transposed matrix. And the third, the term here in n equals 3 is this rho I. So therefore, you can, delta of this is the alternating sum of these. And we already computed the pairing between these. So in conclusion, this is given by 2 delta ij minus aij, and for the n equals 2, and for n equals 3, aij minus aji. And furthermore, in fact, this is the most difficult part. So this is somehow general machinery of the derived category deal with all these computation. And the difficult part is that you must compute the homology of the complex corresponding to this the image of the skyscraper thief under the correspondence. Then you find that this is the exception, the thief supported on the irreducible component of CI, but twisted by a line bundle minus one on. So recall CI is a P1, so twisted by the P minus one of this P1. So this computation, so delta SI SJ of is equal to this matrix recovers, and I mean, so this recovers Mackay's result, namely, so the tensor product multiplicity is identified with the intersection product in here.
So is Ri the Lie bundle corresponding to Ci?
The minus one on Ci. Yeah,
Ri.
Ri correspond to line bundle not necessarily line bundle, I mean, in general. So the vector bundle.
Two dimensions, is it the
line bundle? No, so only in the type AN case it's line bundle, but in general, so the rank of the Ri is the dimension of the representation.
So for n equals 3, you don't really
For n equals 3, it seems difficult to study the homology group of the complex. So I just consider it as an object in the derived category. So for simple, I mean, if the order of the group is small, then you can really work on G human. It's somehow, I mean, hard to say. It's a combinatorial object, so you can study G human in quite in detail if the group is small. But the computation is quite messy, so I just give up to have a clear understanding of the homology. And so the resolution, the geometric picture of the resolution is not so clear for n equals 3. So I finished the lecture by just imagining the picture of the mirror of this Ri and Si. So as I said, I said yesterday. So for n equal to, so this is, you have a hyperkähler metric on this G cube or X zeta. So maybe this part is already explained by previous lecture. So you have, if you have a holomorphic submanifold, then it can be considered as a special Lagrangian with respect to if you change the complex structure in the hyperkähler family. And in this case, the mirror of X, so X is considered a complex manifold with complex structure I, then its mirror is the same hyperkähler manifold, but regarded as a complex manifold with the complex structure J. So it is natural to ask what kind of special Lagrangian submanifold should correspond to those sheaves Si or Ri. So for Si, it seems it is almost clear that Si consider this as a holomorphic submanifold with respect to I. This is a special Lagrangian with respect to J. And it seems that Ri doesn't correspond to compact special Lagrangian. So we must have, so in this case, the Fourier homology is just intersection of the Lagrangian, I think, and so it seems so we must have Kronecker pairing, Kronecker delta in the pairing. So the I think this the special Lagrangian is these non-compact ones. But so far I don't quite understand the role. The special Lagrangian correspond to R naught 1 or S naught. R naught is just a trivial vector band, trivial rank 1 vector bundle. And S naught is the structure sieve of the exceptional, a fundamental cycle. So I stop here.
Any more questions? What about three?
First of all, in the three-dimensional case, I don't understand the mirror of the G cube. So maybe someone. Arbitrary arbitrarian? I mean, only so for small g or? I don't know. So yeah. Arbitrary g. Uh-huh. If this is toric, I see. Yeah.
In as a space, as a homomorphic space.
What?
We started with something which was just empirical, actually.
Yeah.
So we have a moduli space of description for the rotator cuff.
Oh, but if you, if you impose symplectic, momentum of equation, then you get x as a hyperkähler quotient.
No, I understand that, but we have a whole crystal family, right? And you start with one point of the crystal family, which you understand as the g cubed.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the quotient. When you move to the near to the other fiber, which is the general member of the crystal family, do you have again a modular interpretation of that? It's a modular space or something.
So modular space or something on the non-computative plane, yeah.
So indeed,
I think that was done by Ginzburg and others. No? Yeah?
So when this parameter zeta is complex, it's a you can interpret this x of zeta as a moduli space of non-commutative objects.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would normally expect the moduli space to have the same structure as the object that it's parameterizing. Is there a non-commutative direction that x of zeta is the commutativization of?
No, x of zeta is moduli space of objects in non-commutative algebraic geometry. So x zeta itself is algebraic, commutative.
The parameter space
is. So the modular space is commutative, although it parameterizes non-commutative objects.
I thought that usually you might expect that the moduli space and the objects that live in the same category.
Ah, but. I don't know, but so anyway, so in this case situation, so it's not true, I think. So far there's no general theory of the modular space of objects in non-commutative geometry. So this might be some accident, but at least for this example, it's true.
Structure to define stability.
Yeah, yeah.
So this stability depends on the
choice of K-metric. Yes. This depends on the choice of K-metric metric. So is there are several Calabi-Yau which has the common derived category. And so first you must have Calabi-Yau to have an abelian category, and then you need a Kähler metric on this Calabi-Yau manifold to define the stability. So this is somehow two-step.
So even that the derived category is the same, the modular space of the object somehow depends on
the choice. The modular space depends on the Kähler metric.